KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, 8 degrees above zero. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 33. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In the news, a Central Iowa organization's misfortunes have turned into a blessing for students and teachers in eight southwest Iowa counties who will be the beneficiaries of free school supplies. Teacher Tools for Tomorrow is a volunteer-run free store for qualifying teachers in Iowa. The Des Moines store was established to allow teachers of qualifying schools to shop at no cost to them for the supplies that they need to educate the students in their classrooms. The nonprofit group usually works with metro schools to provide the supplies, but because they've lost their warehouse, the excess school supplies must be removed from the facility in the Des Moines area. Adams County Community Economic Development Executive Director Beth Waddell says it's the first time they've been able to partner with Teachers Tools for Tomorrow. 15 pallets of school supplies were donated to help eight area schools. They include Corning, Prescott, Villisca, Lenox, Cam, Orient Magsburg, Bedford, and Clearfield. Capital Sanitary Supply and Hy-Vee transported the pallets to Corning. Precision Pulley and Idler allowed the use of its facility to store and sort the items. Aiken Building Center provided supplies to sort and wrap the boxes. The Corning Rotary Club and Southwest Iowa REC brought in volunteers to help sort out those items. The schools were then notified to come to Corning to pick up their free materials. News time is 8:01.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local Trane dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
A collision between a semi and a car Monday morning in Crawford County has claimed the life of a Schleswig woman. The Iowa State Patrol said 61-year-old Margaret Rebecca Irvine, who was wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene of the crash on Highway 59, about 3 miles north of Denison. Officials say a 2004 International was traveling south on Highway 59 at around 8:35 a.m. Monday when a northbound 1993 Oldsmobile driven by Irvine went out of control on the slick road surface and crossed the center line. The vehicle was then struck broadside by the truck. The driver of the truck, 51-year-old David Charles Joslin of Galva, Iowa, was not injured in the crash. Sheriff's officials in Cass County said yesterday that four people were arrested over the past week on unrelated charges. Last Thursday, deputies arrested 27-year-old Thomas Lee Curtis of Red Oak on a district court warrant for a probation violation. Curtis was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was being held on a $5,000 bond. 23-year-old Travis Derek Collins of Cumberland was arrested Thursday on a charge of disorderly conduct. Collins was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he pled not guilty and was released on his own recognizance later that day. And 39-year-old Robert Joseph Dombra of Atlantic was arrested Thursday on a Cass County warrant for possession with the intent to deliver methamphetamine. Dombra was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he was later released on a $50,000 bond. This past Sunday, 70-year-old Michael Francis Wagner of Cumberland was arrested on a charge of domestic abuse, simple assault. Wagner was taken to the Cass County Jail, where he remained pending a hearing before the magistrate. And last Saturday, deputies in Cass County investigated a non-injury accident at 7th Street and Hospital Drive here in Atlantic. Officials say a 2006 Ford Freestar, owned and driven by 74-year-old Robert Leroy Baker of Griswold, was attempting a left turn on the hospital drive when his vehicle struck an oncoming 2006 Pontiac, owned and driven by 66-year-old John Allen Carnes of Atlantic. Damages from the accident amounted to $5,500. Deputies cited Baker for failing to yield the right-of-way. Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green said Monday that his officers arrested one person and investigated an accident over the weekend. On Sunday, 22-year-old Tyler Johnston of Atlantic was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct. Johnston was booked into the Cass County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. And on Saturday, officers of the Atlantic PD cited Shannon Schmidt Boodle of Atlantic for failure to yield while backing onto a highway after Schmidt began to pull her properly parked vehicle out of a stall and collided with a vehicle driven by Matthew Nielsen of Exira. That accident happened as Nielsen was traveling north on the 300 block of Chestnut Street at around 1:30 p.m. Saturday. Damage amounted to $8,000. Sheriff's officials in Mills County reported on Monday that a Glenwood man was arrested last week on a warrant charging him with sexual abuse. 19-year-old Andrew Mark Schoening was taken into custody on January 17th on a warrant for third-degree sexual abuse. Schoening was being held in the Mills County Jail on $10,000 bond. The Adair County Extension Office is moving. Officials of the Extension Office in Greenfield say as of this April, the center of Adair County's 4-H and youth programs will be housed in the south portion of the Warren Cultural Center on the Greenfield Square. The Extension Service, as you may know, oversees a variety of ag-related programming, including Adair County 4-H, Clover Kids, and the Youth Council. It also provides pesticide and manure handling training, livestock and crop management education, and Master Gardener programs, as well as partnering with the Neely Kenyon Research Farm for its annual field day. Extension also focuses on area families with the Growing Strong Families program. The Extension Service is currently housed in the City Hall building on South 1st Street in Greenfield, where it's been for 15 years. The city will use the additional space to accommodate its office needs. Patrons of the Extension Office will enter via the main entrance to the building. The Extension and the Warren Cultural Center will share a receptionist. The Extension Service will utilize other portions of the building for meetings and conferences as needed. A trial is set in March for a Northwest Iowa man accused of selling a synthetic bath salt drug to at least four people who had to be hospitalized later. 35-year-old Lee Mercer of Galva pleaded not guilty in Cherokee County to ongoing criminal conduct and four counts of distributing imitation-controlled substances. Records say the incident occurred last month. Cherokee County authorities say the four people became confused and were unable to use their arms and legs. The nickname of bath salts stems from the drug's powdery appearance. Mercer's trial is set for March the 20th. Two Interstate 80 rest stops that provide travel respites for hundreds of thousands of people motoring through Iowa will be removed to make way for a new interchange. Des Moines Register says it's unclear whether replacement rest stops will be built. The rest stops sit west of the proposed interchange at exit 119 in Dallas County, just west of Des Moines. Iowa DOT Administrator Steve McMenamin said about 500,000 people visit the rest area on the eastbound side of Interstate 80 annually. The area on the westbound side gets about 400,000 visitors per year. The director of the Iowa Department of Transportation later today will release his plan for cutting $50 million from the DOT's budget. Governor Terry Branstad asked for the plan last fall, and the details will be revealed at 10 o'clock this morning.
The first and most important thing we need to do is demonstrate to the public that we can reduce administrative costs and duplication and make government more efficient.
But it appears the governor is warming to the idea of raising a state gas tax next year as a phase two of the plan to address road and bridge construction needs.
And we do recognize in out years there is a shortfall. I think they identified a shortfall of about $215 million. I happen to think that the most equitable way to deal with that is a user fee.
Senator Tom Riley, a Democrat from Oskaloosa, is chairman of the Senate Transportation Committee.
I think we are about to start taking the first steps in 22 years to actually start fixing up our roads and bridges.
Riley and the Republican chairman of the House Transportation Committee have proposed raising the gas tax by 4 cents in 2013 and another 4 cents in 2014. They'd also increase the sales tax on vehicles to 6%, which would be equal the state sales tax charged on other purchases. Both of those increases, however, would happen after the $50 million in reallocation within the DOT budget. The state's 22-cent per gallon gas tax was set in 1989. Taking a look at world headlines of this hour, President Obama will try to corral the sympathies of middle-class Americans when he delivers his State of the Union address to Congress tonight. The president has offered signals about his speech, telling campaign supporters that he wants an economy that works for everyone, not just a wealthy few. Mitt Romney's campaign is expected to release the Republican presidential candidate's tax returns in full this morning, although it has already confirmed some numbers. Romney earned $21.7 million in 2011 and paid about $3.2 million in taxes. His income from mostly investments was taxed at a rate of about 15.4%. A public viewing begins this afternoon on the Penn State University campus for former football coach Joe Paterno, who died of lung cancer on Sunday. Paterno was fired just 2 months ago amid a child sex abuse scandal involving an ex-assistant coach. On Thursday, the school will hold a public service called a memorial for Joe. And a former dentist in Massachusetts has pleaded guilty to Medicaid fraud for using paper clips instead of stainless steel posts in root canals. Michael Clare is scheduled to be sentenced next week. Prosecutors say the 53-year-old was suspended by Medicaid in 2002 but continued to file claims by using the names of other dentists in an effort to save money. Clare used pieces of paper clips in root canals, which can cause pain and infection. News time is 8:10.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing, Heating, and Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Hubert Hugh Kenneth Porter, age 87, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Thursday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Hugh Porter will be today at 10 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Angela L. Woolhutter, age 38, of Harlan, died Friday. A memorial visitation for Angela Woolhutter will be held today from 1 until 9 p.m. at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan, where the family will greet friends from 5 until 8 p.m. Elsie Bailey, at age 86, a longtime resident of Anita, died Friday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Services for Elsie Bailey will be held Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Anita. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. James Jim Downing, age 74, of Shenandoah, died Saturday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Jim Downing will be Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Shenandoah, with the Hackett Livingston Funeral Home of Shenandoah in charge of arrangements. Merlin Butch Bonish, age 78, of Audubon, died Saturday at Mercy Hospice in Johnston. Funeral services for Butch Bonish will be held Wednesday at 10 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Wallace Dwinell, age 74, of Greenfield, died Friday at the U of I Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. Celebration of life services for Wallace Dwinell will be Wednesday at 1:30 at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And Gary Maverick Davis, age 21, of Exira, died Thursday in Irwin. Funeral services for Gary Davis will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.